our Why series, and I don't know why in this particular Why series topic, I feel like I want to whisper. And I don't know why, but it's going to be a tremendous time, and it's going to be a very elongated study on the Why series regarding the Holy Spirit. And I think it's going to be awesome. And so I trust that it's a great blessing to you. And so tonight, as we get into this, there's so much scripture to read that rather than have us do our responsive reading, we'll put it up on the screen as though you were going to read it, but I'm going to read it. I'll read all of it. So I need all of you to get ready. And so to get ready, let's pray one more time. Father, we pray that tonight you would be the teacher of all of us tonight. And I don't know why I feel so subdued. I mean, I haven't eaten anything weird. I just feel, Lord, reverent regarding this topic of the Holy Spirit, the dear, precious Holy Spirit, that we might learn of him tonight, and that we, through this series, might be so dramatically and radically transformed in our lives totally, from our worship, our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, our dependence upon him, how we relate to him, his gifts, and the function of them, and the fact of the matter that without the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be a church. Without the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd be lost tonight. So, Father, we pray that you would just feel at home here. This is your place. We are your people. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we're going to be commencing this study that we're going to entitle The Holy Spirit and the Life of the Believer. And I'm going to ask you to definitely take notes, especially if you have questions. Because on the Wednesday nights like this, when we do get to questions, I know that I'm very, very bad about that. I promised you questions on Wednesday nights, and I'm hoping that tonight will be one of those nights. So we'll go as far as we can this evening. But I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles or look at the screens if you don't have a New King James Version Bible. And if you don't have a New King James, you ought to buy a New King James Bible. They're pretty cool. You know, all the these and the thous are out, and they put in the you and me's. But they have stayed true to the accuracy of the scripture. The New King James Version, that's what we'll be reading on the screens. And so let me read this along. And if you, again, if something pops up in your mind, there's a notepaper in front of the seat that's there in front of you. You pull it out and you write it down. Because I don't want anybody to leave this place tonight in any way confused. Because it's my opinion that Satan would love to have you confused about the Holy Spirit. Because I got to tell you, church, you're not going to have any impact, and you're not going to have any joy, and you're not going to have any fun as a believer unless you understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. And when I say fun, I mean this kind of fun, like ripping up the world for Jesus kind of fun. Amen. Okay, so here we go. These letters technically should be written in red, huh? This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," notice now, listen, he's leaving. He's announcing that he's leaving. And he's telling us, don't be troubled by the fact that he's leaving. It's essential that he leaves. He's got to go and prepare a place for you. "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a key statement because he's announcing, I'm leaving earth, I'm going to heaven, I'm preparing a place there, and there's going to come a time when I'm going to take you there. Okay, but for our study's sake, that's not what we're focusing on. By the way, if you are an eschatologist, this is the first introductory verse by Jesus Christ himself regarding the doctrine of the rapture. Right here, by Jesus himself. I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to take you to that place that I've been preparing for you. It's not on earth. It's in heaven. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Don't you love Thomas? He's the best. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, see, if he wouldn't have asked that, we never would have known this next awesome verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, I love that. Amen. When you're not a Christian, you hate that verse. Because it's so narrow. This is Jesus saying it. And he's saying, this is the way. I'm the ticket. I'm the key. I'm the path. It's vital. If you had known me, verse 7, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. I'm going to insert this. What Jesus is saying cannot happen to your life without the Holy Spirit owning you. And you'll never be able to merge the understanding or the love or the relationship that you can have with the Father and with the Son unless the Holy Spirit is operational in your life. You are not going to get that intercourse between the Father and the Son and the believer without the Holy Spirit being in your life. That's why if people read this, they don't get it. I'll simply submit to you tonight, you need the Spirit of God in your life to understand this. Jesus makes that very clear. And so he says, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Love all these questions by these guys. Jesus said to him, to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Listen up. It doesn't mean that Jesus is the Father. Make sure you know that. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is Jesus. The Spirit is the Spirit and the Father is the Father. So then what is Jesus saying? This is awesome to be reminded of. Jesus is announcing by this, if you've read the entire Gospels, Jesus said, I only say those things my Father tells me to say, and I only do those things my Father tells me to do, and I do nothing without him saying so, and I say nothing without him saying so. The will of the Father is exactly what I do. That's the meaning behind what Jesus is saying. He is announcing, have I been so long with you and you're still trying to figure out who the Father is? Look at me. Meaning, everything I say, everything I do, is the exact, expressed, perfect will of the Father. So in other words, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and the Pharisees grabbed her, which, why were they there watching? I think it was a setup. They drug her to Jesus, threw her down at his feet and said, Moses says to stone her, what do you say? And Jesus begins to announce to them, you who are without sin, which one of you have no sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And the Bible says that he stooped down. Isn't that awesome? He stooped down and he began to write in the dirt. And the Bible tells us that they, being convicted, each of them began to leave. The oldest first to the youngest. You hear the genius of that? Jesus stoops down and answers the question. Moses' killer? What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus begins to write in the dirt. And these Pharisees, the oldest one, you know why the oldest person left, the oldest Pharisee left first? When you're older, you're very aware. You've lived longer. You've sinned more. The longer you live, the more sin you rack up on your sin-o-meter. The oldest person leaves first. And then the younger ones, young people, you got to love them. The younger ones are harder to convince because they have an ideology that is sometimes accurate, most often theoretical. It's something that they've got to get through. It's part of growing up. But the younger theologians, they're really impressed with themselves. Finally, they get convicted. And they leave. And Jesus says to the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "Lord," as she looks around, I think she said it like this. "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "Lord, I have none." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go now and sin no more." In other words, go live a different life now. Okay, how did that happen? Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," and yet there was no gospel preached. You don't even read about the word repent because you don't have to. The Holy Spirit had convicted her of her sins. Jesus is going to teach us tonight that the Holy Spirit does the convicting. Humans cannot convict. Now, you may think that you're the Holy Spirit's helper. You're not. You may be a sin sniffer and a fault finder. You're not. We are commanded to love. We're commanded to love even our enemies. Which the fun part is, have you ever loved one of your enemies? I had an enemy. I have enemies. I just haven't gotten the chance to love them all yet. But I had a real enemy years ago. Guy was out to get me big time. And of the worst type of enemy. It was out of pure envy. Something had happened and this person became very envious and is outside of my control. And the Lord said, "I want you to love him." And I thought, "What was that, Lord? You want me to kill him?" "No, I want you to love him." And I can honestly tell you, I did not want to do that. And it was really hard for me. And so I said, "Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And I want you to know I'm doing it for you. And Lord, I'd appreciate it if you would never forget that I'm doing this for you out of absolute obedience to you. Because I don't want to do this." And I did it. And it didn't change that person one bit. You know who it changed? It completely changed me. Totally set me free. That person no longer had control over my life. That was supernatural. It was like, what? It's like an explosion happened. How did that happen? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit did that. And so he says, "Show us the Father." And he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me," that's important, "does the works." Verse 11 says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I..." Listen, "the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Stop right there. Jesus Christ is saying that it is so expectant of those who believe in me to do greater works than me. Can you imagine? How can I do greater works than Jesus? I've never raised anybody from the dead. Would I like to have raised somebody from the dead? That'd be cool. But then I'd have to have enough faith to pray for that dead person to raise them, which is kind of overwhelming. Have you ever been next to a dead person and somebody says, pray, ask God to... Let me tell you, you need to find some faith. That's a big deal. I've not done that. I don't know, maybe you have. I've not done that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about something that's greater than that. What in the world can we do that's greater than raising the dead? What in the world is it that we can do by the power of the Holy Spirit based on the words of Jesus that are greater than walking on water? It doesn't matter if you walk on water. Would it be cool to walk on water? Would it be awesome to walk from here to Catalina? I think it'd be awesome. But that's not important. It's not needed. It's not needed. The greater work is the Holy Spirit in you leading other people to Christ is the greater work. That's the greatest work. For you to be a witness to someone that leads them to the love of God. Greater works that he will do because I go to my Father. Notice it goes back to earlier verse 14, or chapter 14, early on. I'm going. I'm leaving. You're going to be able to do this because I'm going. I got to go. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. Should be a next verse. Next section. The section, guys, let's keep going. Next page. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit does it in me. Do you ever feel inadequate? Okay, first, let me scratch that. Raise your hand, everyone. Just raise your hand. Keep them up. Raise your hand if you feel inadequate. There you are. All you have to do is read those three words. Keep my commandments. And it says, that's it. I'm going home. No. You cannot do it. He does it in you. Don't lose heart. He does this. You don't do Christianity. Christianity is done to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what? It's not in my notes, but let's just say it. God says to his priesthood in the Old Testament, you got to put cotton in your crotch and in your armpits. Did you know this? The priests were ordered to put cotton in their armpits and in their crotch. Because God said, my priest shall never sweat. You know what's awesome about that? When we start sweating, we're not trusting in him. When we start sweating and get anxious, we need to back up and calm down. My priest shall never sweat. And the Bible tells us in Peter that we are a kingdom of priests to our God. He says in verse 16, and I will pray to the Father and he will give you another. There's the word. Notice, by the way, even in the English, it's in capital H. The word is parakletos or paraclete. Parakletos, para, parachute, parabol, parallel. It means alongside. Kletos, parakletos, the helper who comes alongside you. You hear what he's saying? I'm leaving. I got to go. By the way, I got to go. I'm going to build you a place. I'll come pick you up. But I got to go. For a lot of reasons, I got to go. If I go, listen, I'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. So mark it down in your notes. That's one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth. Whom the world cannot receive. In other words, listen up, everybody. This is not going to go over big. This will go over like a bunch of rocks. The Spirit of Truth in you and I in this world, the world cannot receive. Instantly the Christian. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay. The Christian who's possessed by the Holy Spirit is at odds with this world. And the world cannot receive your worldview now. They don't get it. Look, let's be honest. Before we were Christians, we didn't get it. Come on. And this immediately puts us at odds. You're not of this world anymore. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And that Greek word for ambassador is an ambassador that is sent to go into a hostile territory. It's not an ambassador, you know, like the ambassador of the Rose Parade. Oh, big deal. What do? You sit in a car and you wave. No, we're talking about an ambassador that goes into, where would that be today? North Korea or Iran to be an ambassador. Can you imagine going into Iran and saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Kim Jong-un, before you press the next button, I just want you to know I'm a Christian. That's the word. That's radical. That's how we are in this world. The world doesn't get it. They don't get us. They don't understand. That's why they think we hate. You're all these things. You Christians, you this and this. By the way, beware if you claim to be a Christian and everybody of the world thinks you're awesome. Jesus said, you can't be friends of both. You know that conviction you're feeling right now? That's the Holy Spirit talking. I just want people to like me. They're not going to, unless you give them stuff. The way humans are. I just want a lot of friends. You don't need a lot of friends. I just got news for you. You don't need a lot of friends. You just need, first of all, you've got Jesus. Yeah, but I want somebody to hold my hand. Okay, you only need two or three of those. Okay? I've got 5,000 people on my Facebook friends. No, you don't. They're not your friends. I have all these friends. I have hundreds of thousands of friends on Facebook, and they ain't always nice to me. So how can they be my friends? Right? Think of that. It's kind of weird. He says, but you know him. Well, let me back up, actually. Verse 17, for the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him or sees him, nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, listen, watch, with you, and will be in you. This is amazing. We may not get any further tonight just due to the importance of this statement. Verse 17, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit operationally is always alongside everybody. He's everywhere. Listen, the Holy Spirit, in future weeks we'll get into his deity, but the Holy Spirit is God. And we'll prove that to you. If you have any Jehovah Witness friends, in the next 5, 6 weeks, 7, 10 weeks, bring them. They need to know this. Because they do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person. And they do not believe that he is God. And the Bible says he's God. And we're going to show you where it says all that. Okay, verse back up on the screen. We're almost there. Actually, we're not even close to being there. Back up on the screen. So watch this. He dwells with alongside you. And some of you have the old King James where it says, and shall be in you. That's a futuristic statement. When Jesus said this, it hadn't happened yet. What hadn't happened yet? It had never happened in the history of mankind up until this time. And that is, the Holy Spirit had yet to dwell inside of a human being. Jesus Christ is our prototype. He's the forerunner. So the Holy Spirit is not only God. We heard a moment ago that the Father dwells within the Son within the Father. And we understand that the Trinity is not able to be trisected. And so God is one, right? Did hear the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Okay? So Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is alongside you. But something's going to happen. And he's going to be in you. In fact, he's going to be in you to the point we read a moment ago, forever, at the end of verse 16. So he says he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Okay, this gets incredibly, beautifully wild. Look at that carefully, Bible students. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. He's speaking, right? You all agree on that? He's talking about the Father. We all agree on that? And he's talking about the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit. We all understand that? This is amazing. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you. Stop right there. You just told us you were leaving. Did you catch that? Gotta go. See ya. I'm gonna go build you a place. I'll come back. Gotta go. In fact, it's better for you for me to go. I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit though. I'm not gonna leave you orphaned. I said, okay, I get that. Okay, so he's not gonna leave us orphaned. He's gonna send us the Holy Spirit. Yes, but notice what he says. I will not leave you. I will come to you. How does Jesus Christ interact in your life? If we went right now and asked all the children in children's ministry, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? J. Vernon McGee was talking about a kid that went to his school, church for the first time. Some of you have heard this. This is awesome. So this family's shopping for a church, and they go to a church, and the kid goes to the Sunday school class, and the teacher is trying to get the kids to understand, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And it just freaked the kid out. And so the teacher was saying, okay, do you know? Do you know? And she says to this kid, oh, you're new? So he concluded, wait a minute, they're asking, where's Jesus? She's asking, do you know, do you know? And then she just figured out that I'm new here, and the kid got up and ran. And got a hold of his parents and said, we got to leave this church, we have to leave this church. And the parents said, what are you talking about, why? And he said, they don't know where Jesus is, and they're trying to pin it on me. That's very cute. If you go to children's ministry and ask the kids, where's Jesus? Listen, it's so amazing. Only 150 feet from here. Think about it. If I ask you where Jesus is, you're going to go like this. If I ask the kids, where's Jesus? They're going to go like this. Did you know that? And Jesus said, you need to become like a little kid to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, are you correct in pointing up? I guess. I mean, symbolically, we point up. It's like... But they get it. That's the right answer inside. Okay? Guys, put up John 15, starting at verse 18. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Does the world love you? Good. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, next slide, maybe. They will keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which, or miracles, which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Because when the Helper, look at that. All of a sudden, he goes from persecution and guilt, Guilt by association, the Christian with Jesus and the Father. He goes right back to verse 26 and he says, but when the Helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Parakletos, whom I shall send to you from the Father. By the way, here's the Trinity in the Bible. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Let's keep going with this. John 16, verse 7 through 11. John 16, verses 7 through 11. You guys okay? I know we're not even really teaching tonight. We're just walking through this tonight. But this is good for us. Yes. Plus, it's the most Bible you've had all day today. So it's great. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your... Here you go. This is amazing. It is to your advantage that I go away. Those guys must have been scratching their heads. Jesus, you don't get it. We'd rather just hang out with you. It's amazing. There's free food with you. There's always action. It's amazing. Anybody dies, you raise them up. Anybody sick, you heal them. No, we want to stay with you. Don't leave. Don't go. No, he said, it's better for you. You're going to have an advantage if I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You know what that means? Do you know what the day of Pentecost means? Yes. Do you know what happened? Yes. What happened? The Holy Spirit came down and the church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's 50, Pentecost. In other parts of the world, they're called 50-day Christians. Did you know that? 50-day. I'm not joking. 50-day Christians. The Christians who believe in the full gospel are, we know in America, they'll say Pentecostal. But if you believe in the gospels, if you believe in the full gospel of God, they'll call, in other parts of the world, they call them, you must be a 50-day Christian. Do you believe the Bible? Yep, you're a 50-day Christian. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit controls you. The Holy Spirit owns you. So watch how cute this is. This is awesome. How do we know if Jesus, after he ascended, do you remember he ascended from the Mount of Olivet up out of their sight? How do we know Jesus Christ made it to heaven? You have no evidence or proof whatsoever until 50 days later. How do you, well, Jack, I don't get it. Because Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'll send him to you. You say, well, did it take him 50 days to get there? No, it didn't take him 50 days to get there. Jesus came, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the feast of Pentecost, which, listen, the sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus down upon his church 2,000 years ago was the actual fulfillment of the reason why there was a feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament. Every Old Testament feast, there's seven of them, all of them have a New Testament answer to them. Except the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you get that? Five of the feasts have been fulfilled in a New Testament act. Example, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church. Two have not been fulfilled in New Testament times. We're waiting for it to happen. The Feast of Trumpets. Get that trumpet? Hello. A trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. And where do we go? We go to the Father's house. And we tabernacle with the Father. I will send him to you. Verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes to earth to do his work, he's going to convict the world of sin. That's what he does. That's why people grind their teeth and hate God. They love their sin more than God, and they grind their teeth in hatred against God. Listen, I'm not joking when I say this. I'm not being funny. When we have legislators who try to silence the preaching of the Word of God, because it's offensive. They are literally totally ignorant of who the Holy Spirit is. They're trying to sue God. When the gospel's preached and the Holy Spirit's moving, you want to know if you're going to a church where the Holy Spirit's moving, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on, but the key thing will be conviction. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you inside your head, be nicer to your wife, will you? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to say, you know what? It's not good for you to do drugs. You're killing yourself. He doesn't punch you in the face. You could be sleeping with bubbles tonight. He's not going to beat you up. He's going to tell you, you shouldn't be sleeping with bubbles. It's going to kill you. But if you dig your heels in and you resist him, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, in the end, people will be so hardened that it says that they're going to shake their fist and curse God while all these miracles are going on earth. What? He loves you. He knows exactly how your life is supposed to go, how it's supposed to be. Let's finish this section and then we'll have some Q&A, okay? So start thinking of your question now so we don't miss anything. So he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. The Holy Spirit's the one that says that's right and that's wrong. Everybody knows it. Listen, friends, listen. Oh, pastor, pray for my teenager. Pray for my 23-year-old daughter. Pray for my 25-year-old son. They know the gospel, but they've gone astray. And they're nope, I got it. We'll pray. Just know this. The Holy Spirit, their life's miserable. Well, no, they're doing fine. No, they're not.
No.
But they're making so much money and they're doing it. It's okay. It's okay. If they're Christians, they're miserable. If they're really putting it on, the more they put it on, I'm doing great. Awesome. It's so great. Oh, man, I'm doing great. Have you ever seen people do that to you? So I haven't seen you in a while. I'm just kind of, you know, taking a break from God. It's awesome. Just doing great. I'm doing great. They oversell it. Okay? And it's not so great. The world, it's not so great. If you're not a Christian tonight, and you're doing your stuff, whatever that is. Let's be honest. It's not so great. You talk it up. That's why you always talk it up. On Monday at work. Remember when you were not a Christian, you'd lie your face off on Monday. Hey, how was your weekend? Awesome! What'd you guys do? Oh my goodness, you won't believe it. We did this and this and this and this, and then we went and did that. And oh man! It wasn't that great. You know it. That's why you got to talk it up. It wasn't so good. He convicts us of sin, and he also tells us what's the right way to go. Listen, you're a wayward kid. I told the lady on Sunday, she wanted me to call her son. I go, wait, did you tell him that he shouldn't be doing this? Yes. Does he know the gospel? Yes. I said, how many times have you told him he shouldn't be doing this? Thousands. And I said, never tell him again. Stop it. And just pray him right in to the hands of God. So, I don't know how to do that. And I told her, I said, you need to go like this. Dear Lord, the next time he goes to that place, this is how you're going to pray, ma'am. Lord, the next time he goes to that place and puts his last stolen dollar into that slot machine and pulls it, may he vomit all over the place. May he get sick. The next time he hears a casino, that he would just be repulsed and become sick. She, can you pray like that? That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. David said, Lord, my enemies, you know who they are. Break their teeth off in their mouth. Did you know David did that? It's called imprecatory prayer. It's called imprecatory prayer. I kid you not. You can pray. You pray, Lord. Hey, we pray like that. There's people that don't like us. It's hard to believe. But there's people that don't like us. And so, you know, we're going to come by and we're going to, Lord, just stop them before they get here. What does that mean? Don't know, don't care. God, just stop them before they get here. And so because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's a reference to Satan. So that was, I'm halfway through page 2 of the notes. We'll stop here because the rest would just do damage if we tried to hurry through this. And if you have a question tonight, guys, how are we going to do this? We can do it any way we want. Wow. And that's good because Wednesday nighters know we do Q&A sometimes. I see some non-Christians that seem to act more like some Christians than some Christians. Boy, I know that person. I know who you're talking about. How can that be if the Holy Spirit is truly working in the Christian but not in the unbeliever? You're very generous with your assessment. You're assuming your Christian friends are Christian. But let's be nice. At face value, let's take that question on. Let's say the guy is a Christian and he doesn't live as decent as the non-Christian. Which one's the Christian? This is a great, great question. First of all, Paul writes in the book of Romans, is it not that God has written his law upon their hearts, the Gentiles, so that without the law, they do the law? That's interesting. That means God's working in that non-believer's life. You don't know what's going on in that non-believer's life. Yeah, but what about the Christian that's a goofball? He's the one that's he's the worse witness than the non-believer. So let's assume he's a Christian and he's a work in progress. Pray for him. And by all means, and this is where we fail, shame on us. If we really loved one another, we would tell one another stuff. You know what? Come on, let's be honest about this. And by the way, I've been here for a while. I don't care how big this church is or how it ever gets or how many services we have. The size of this church is irrelevant regarding its capacity to love. In other words, let me put it this way. You can be in a church of 10 people, and it can be the most unloving, gossip-ridden, nut job church. So size does not matter. It's the love. Okay, so having said that, If you know this person, I hope you speak to them and you say to them, hey, were you there Wednesday night? Because I text a question about you. And here's the thing. I was thinking about you when I text that question. And you need to really, I'm coming to you in love, and you need to really straighten that up. I love you. Let's straighten it up. Let's read a book together on this. Let's do this together. Listen, do you have to know someone? If you are in, guys, I'm just talking to the guys right now. Isn't it universal, guys, in the universe? You don't have to speak Russian if you're in Moscow to tell the guy in the elevator, your zipper's down. You know, it's a universal thing in the world. You don't let the guy get out of the... You don't let him get out. All men protect other men when it's like... It's just universal. And yet you and I meet people walking around town or whatever, and they have like food on their face or a booger like right there, and you're like... And here's the thing that blows my mind. I will tell people, I will flat out say, look, I'm sorry, but you've got a booger on your upper lip. Why are you laughing? Listen, if you see that and you go, oh man, what, that is a bummer for that guy. Shame on you. If you love them, tell them. If this guy's a goofball and he's not doing the name of Jesus right, tell him. Okay? You got to tell him. Next question. How can we be clear and discerning when it's the Holy Spirit speaking in our minds versus our own thoughts? Fantastic. Oh, man. Next time together, we're going to answer that. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is only going to speak to you what I have spoken. He's only going to speak the word to you. How do you know? Great question. How do you know when the Holy Spirit's speaking? He's going to speak the word. Listen. See, yeah, but didn't Satan use the Bible against Jesus? Mm-hmm. And he uses it against you. This is how Satan attacks Christians. He uses the Bible. And he'll give you a half a verse, or he'll mix verses up. So how do you know? The Holy Spirit will speak the word, not a funny goofball version of it. Okay? So know the word, and you'll hear. You know the word more, and you'll hear him speak more. I'm convinced God is constantly talking. I'm rarely listening. I'm reading a book right now. It's a secular book, but it's all about listening. And what's the name of the book? I don't know. But I'm reading it. I was reading it today, and it's, I don't know. They were saying something about listening. No, but it's good. We need to work on listening. We don't listen anymore. You know what? I can't hear God. I can't hear God. I'd love to have God talk to me. I don't hear God's voice. Put this down. Turn off the TV. Pull the earbuds out. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit tell you while you're driving or whatever, turn off the radio? And then you say, well, God, I'm listening to Christian music. Like he cares. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I have many times. It's very important. We need to train ourselves to listen, and we don't do it enough. We need to do that. We'd have a lot less drama in our lives if we listened to God. By the way, I'm a big fan of what I'm about to say. Big fan. The more you wait and listen, the less mistakes you'll make in life. Amen. You want to have a good life? Stop making mistakes. How do I do that? Listen to God. How do I do that? Read the word. Amen. How do I do that? Soak in it. Just get in it. Yes. Just get in it. And listen, you will live your life, and you'll live. Look, I'm an old guy now. It's pretty awesome. I've been a Christian almost 44 years now. It's amazing, because now I look back, and it's like, God, today, I'll tell you, don't tell anybody. Today, truly, I was all by myself. I was driving, and I saw something that I drove through an area where I used to go as a kid. You ever done that? And I drove through, and I looked at something, and I remembered, oh my goodness, Lord, you knew me when I didn't know you. I was 12 years old, riding my bike, going right past this spot. And here I am now today, and you brought me through all these storms and all of these things of life and all of the drama and all of the ups and downs and all of the pain and all of the joys and all of the stuff. And Lord, and I just went, because I was by myself, I just went, you're awesome! And it felt good. It felt really good. Next question. Do you expect to see a physical being representing the Holy Spirit once we get to heaven? Or will the Holy Spirit just be God's Spirit with us? Listen to this. Great question. The answer is yes. Listen. Jesus said, blessed, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, don't ask me to explain what I just said. That's going to be part of heaven's excitement. How are we going to see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? I don't know. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is God in totality in heaven. You'll see him. How's that going to be? Wow. I'm impressed by your question. Next question. Do we have a question? We have one more. If the Holy Spirit is with us or in us all of the time, why do we sometimes feel separated from God? Because that's emotion. Notice the word feel. Circle the word feel. Feel. Put it in red and jack up the font 50 times. Feel. Honestly, let's be honest. And people ask me, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, have you given your life to Christ?
Yeah.
Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead? Yep. You do know you're a sinner, right? Oh, yeah. Do you believe that he's God incarnate? Yeah. Well, read John 3:16. I believe that. Throw your Bible away. I can't do that. Okay, that's why I said throw your Bible away. I knew you can't do that. So tell me, how does it feel? I don't feel saved. Well, how does feeling saved feel? What does it feel like? Do you feel it? Because, you know, this is a good place to end. Because we live in a really weird Christian age. What do you feel? Well, what I feel is my truth. What are you feeling? I'm feeling a totally different truth. You're both crazy and need to read the Bible. It's true. Because how do you feel about that? Think about it. How do I feel? It's not the feeling. It's what you know. So he's always with you because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you feel, and I'm going to be brutally honest, when you feel like he's not with you, it's just your feelings. That's all it is. Okay? They're really no big deal. They'll fool you every time. He said it. He cannot lie. I believe him, so that goes against everything I feel in the negative. And there are those moments in worship. You can come on out because we're late. I'm late. We're all late. But you know, listen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's remember this: that if our theology is emotionally based, if we have an emotionally based theology, then you're going to be shipwrecked in the near future in your faith. Don't have your relationship with God based upon how you feel. Because when you feel a certain way, you'll be led astray. Your feelings need to be governed with what you know. Feelings are great when they're... It's like a horse. Horses are great when they're under control. Okay? When they're not under control, they can really mess things up. But when a horse has a bridle and a bit, and the horse is under control, then there's a lot of good. And your emotions are like that. And the Holy Spirit, as you'll learn in the next many weeks as we cover this topic of who he is, he's the one who will give you the strength to govern your impulses and your drives, because we all have them, and they could all destroy us in an instant, but for the grace of God. As we end in this song, I want you to remember that it's Jesus who died on the cross for your sins. No church, no pope, no evangelist, no pastor, no priest. It's Jesus who died on the cross for you. He rose again from the dead, the Bible says, because sin couldn't hold him down. I mean, the grave couldn't hold him down because he had no sin. Isn't that awesome? Jesus laid in that tomb and And death walked around him. Think about it. Death tried to hold him down, and it couldn't. It couldn't find a handle anywhere. Couldn't find anything to hang on to because he had no sin. Jesus. And the Bible says on the third day, because he was God incarnate, he rose again from the flesh. Jesus Christ is the prophesied Son of God. That's what the Old Testament is all about, is who he is. He died on the cross for your sins. If you're here tonight or you're watching and you're a murderer, God can forgive you of your murdering. If you are a top-notch, super citizen, excellent, moral person, and you don't know God, you're just as lost as the murderer. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in this together, but we don't get all out together unless you go to Him. So may the Holy Spirit lead you even now in the decision for you to say, Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you into my life to be my Lord and Savior tonight. I'm asking you right now, Lord, to take control of my life and make me brand new. I'm asking you to transform me by your power. I surrender to you fully. And I'm asking you, God, to conquer my will. I don't want to be in charge anymore. I quit. And I want you to just cause me to live the life that you intended for me to live before I was ever born. I'm yours, Jesus. And from this moment on, friend, if you've prayed that prayer, go forward. Don't look back. Don't turn around. Because your life is just beginning today.